Does the African National Congress have an agenda to disarm private citizens? We speak to Jonathan Deal, the leader of the Safe Citizen campaign. Welcome, Jonathan.
Morning to you, Chris.
Do you think there is such an agenda? And if so, what is behind it?
I'm absolutely convinced, Chris, that there is an agenda to disarm private citizens. In fact, I would put it as follows, that the ANC wants your guns, but not for public safety. I think that if one looks at historically the ANC stance around private firearm ownership, we have heard from President Ramaphosa himself that he would like to see South African citizens disarmed. And everything that they do within the safety and security cluster around firearms legislation points in that direction.
Now, if proposed amendments to current legislation became law, how do you predict legal firearm owners will react?
I think that if the proposed amendments, and when I talk about the proposed amendments, remember that the last thing that we have seen as interested and affected stakeholders is in 2021. We don't have the privilege of NEDLAC and BUSA of having seen this bill ahead of time and being able to debate it on behalf of the public. But if we look at what was proposed in 2021, it was completely irrational. And probably the most shocking aspect of that was to strip firearm owners of the notion of being able to own a firearm for self-defense. This after the state has issued somewhere between 2 million and 2.5 million licenses for that exact purpose. But I do think that if this act became law, the effect would be to turn millions of law-abiding South Africans into criminals overnight, because I don't believe that South Africans will hand their firearms in.
Now, what about the other proposed amendments and that to regulations affecting the security industry?
If one looks at these two bills together, the Firearms Control Act that we saw in 2021 and the CIRA regulations, the CIRA firearm regulations amendments, proposed amendments of a few months ago, it is crystal clear where the state wants to go. And if one considers that the commercial security industry is many times larger and a lot more competent than the South African police services, and that the commercial security industry vicariously and directly protects tens of millions of South Africans every single day, it is absolutely nonsensical that the state would even propose those regulations. And this is not something that has been cooked up in the offices of CIRA or even the Civilian Secretariat for Police Services. It is quite clear that the instructions for such a piece of legislation could only come at national executive level in the African National Congress. And it is absolutely laughable.
Just remind us of the role private gun owners played in quelling the 2021 riots in KZN.
We were quite closely involved in monitoring that. And it was very clear that had it not been for citizens from all race groups and cultures and creeds standing together on street corners and even indeed in front of police stations and government installations, that insurrection would have completely engulfed KwaZulu-Natal, and I don't doubt that it would have spread right across the country. So that's, at that particular time, it was very ironic, of course, that it happened just after the proposed amendments to the Firearms Control Bill were first floated, and there was a real live demonstration for the ANC as to the use and the benefit of lawfully armed private citizens being able to defend themselves and their neighbors and state infrastructure. Yet it seems that that lesson passed the ANC by.
Now, what about the argument that privately owned guns are fueling crime?
Now, that, I think, has now been thoroughly disproved as nonsense. The complete dearth of control and accountability in the state organs for looking after their firearms is now well known. And firearms, private firearms that have been handed in for amnesty or recovered through other means, have been sold by SAPS officers two gangsters. This is well documented. And even after the famous Colonel Prinsloo case, there have been a number of instances, even recently, of this type of thing happening again. The ANC itself has a very poor record of accounting for somewhere between 14 and 20,000 firearms, including military-style fully automatic rifles that were issued to units and structures under their control in the years 1990 to 1994. And they are, in fact, the only political party, even today, that have got a license to possess firearms. And one must ask the question, why? And why are they still holding on to those firearms? And when are they going to share with the public where those firearms are today?
Just to go back to the proposed amendment bill, what is the bottom line there? What would be the bottom line there for firearm owners, legal firearm owners?
I think if that bill were to pass, the objectives are very clear. They don't want any firearms possessed for self-defense, which is absolutely shocking considering the security situation in South Africa, the complete failure of the police to be able to keep South African citizens safe. And I don't like to refer to what happens in other countries because it's almost irrelevant. But what I will say is that even in the best operated police forces and countries in the world, let's take an example like Switzerland, the police cannot arrive in time to save an ordinary citizen from a violent criminal attack.
What have been your biggest objections to the way this legislation is being drafted?
If one looks at the ANC as an organization that can literally thumb its nose at the United States while this country is bleeding jobs and foreign aid, it's no surprise that they have this cavalier, devil-may-care attitude to developing legislation. And I have a history in standing up to some of the legislation and regulations that this government has proposed in other areas. And this is absolutely true to form. In fact, what they normally do is that they wait until somewhere around the 16th of December, and then they float a proposed amendment bill for the public to consider, and they give them 30 days. And they know very well that the legal profession is closed and that most people are on holiday, and by the time that people come back to work the next year, there are about 4 days left to comment on the legislation. But the fact that this has been done in secret with NEDLAC, and NEDLAC has shared it with BUSA, Business Unity South Africa, which is nothing more than a conglomeration of privately owned companies, is shocking. Those companies have got no more right and no more standing than any member of the public to actually have access to that bill and to be able to debate it before it is tabled as an amendment bill.
Do you think this bill could be the spark that ignites South Africa?
It is not something that one would consider easily and not something that I would like to comment on in an offhand manner. But if one looks at the confluence of factors and issues that are at play in South Africa at the moment, across the continuum of expropriation without compensation, the new BEE employment regulations, our farmers are being squeezed from both sides. On the one hand, they're facing a law that can, at any time at the government's will, now apparently just result in their land being taken away from them with no compensation. They are also told how they can live and who they can have in their organization. And even private citizens who are not necessarily in an enterprise, many of them have got nowhere to go. And I believe that the average South African would like nothing more than political stability and, in fact, economic stability. More importantly, they want food and they want jobs. And there is a dearth of those in South Africa, and it looks as if it's getting worse. And on top of this, if one looks at it from the viewpoint of people that are feeling battered by crime, that have got nowhere to go, like me, I have a South African passport and no way to go to another country, even were I prepared to abandon South Africa, certainly we are being squeezed from all directions. And if the government is going to insist on going down this road, the consequences may well be catastrophic for all South Africans.
Thank you. That was Jonathan Deal, the leader of the Safe Citizen Campaign, speaking to BizNews, and I'm Chris Steyn.